because even as we look into the world today, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, every heart is receptive, and there is no confusion, no disparity as the word is taught. But with open eyes, okay, we are able to see, we are able to know, we are able to understand. Father, we thank you for the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in this house. Father, we thank you and we'll give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Hallelujah. Okay, so you can have your seat. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're welcome to church. We began looking at something last week, and we'll just continue along those lines again this week. You know, we took our text from Romans chapter 12. Please turn there quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Are you there? So we'll read together. Read verse 1 and verse 2 together. So are we ready? Okay, 1, 2, go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we began to look along these lines last week. I don't know if you remember. I think you should. You know, focusing. Okay, we looked at verse 1. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. Now, obviously, here he is referring to conduct, right? Because the believer is holy. Do you know that? You know, we said that last week, right? The believer is acceptable to God. Now, what does he do? Present your body. Do you understand that? That is, the word present there means show it as it is. Hallelujah. So, I am holy, I'm acceptable unto God, and now in my conduct, okay, how I live my life as a believer, I'm supposed to show that. You understand what I'm saying? So, it's holy and acceptable conduct. Amen? It says you are a living sacrifice. Tell me, a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Now, like we said last week, how did this happen? Okay? Or pardon me, how does this happen? This presenting. Because most times, you know, we stay with the, what's it called? The conduct, like we saw last week, without first understanding the reality. Or we can say, we stay with the responsibility, without first understanding the reality. So it says, present your body. So that's something you will do, right? That's conduct, right? Okay, now how would you do this? Okay, verse 2 tells us, it says, do not be conformed to this world. And we saw the Greek word used here for conformed last week is the word suschematizo. Okay, that's suschematizo. Okay, suschematizo. Now it means to follow the same pattern. Okay, or to assume the same outer form or fashion according to. And you remember our illustration, right? This shape sort of toys, whereby you have a toy and you're laughing. You know, you have a toy and there are different shapes. Okay, it's called a shape sort of toy. Amen. So you have different shapes in it, and then you have boxes. Okay, then you have the shapes. So you take a rectangular shape and you fit it into it to teach little children how to basically shapes. Okay, so you take rectangle and put it into the rectangular hole. Amen. You take circular, put it into the circular hole. You take triangle, put it into the triangular hole. Now we gave an illustration last week that imagine you try taking the rectangle and forcing it into the maybe triangle. You know, you have a problem. It's one of two things that will happen. Either you will ruin the box or you will ruin the shape. Do you understand? So you feed it into the right box. Okay? That's the word used here. To schematizo. That is, don't mold, don't fit yourself into the mold of this world. That is, this world has a pattern. It has a way of thinking. It has a, in the world, there's a way of doing things. Okay? Now, it says, don't force yourself into the world's mold. Hallelujah. Are you here? So, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. Okay? I'll spell it for you. M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. The last O is accentuated. Okay? So, it literally means to change into what you are on the inside. Do you see that? To metamorphosize is where you get the English word metamorphosis. Okay? To change. So, if it tells you that don't fit into the mold of this world, obviously, that means that you are not of this world. We saw that last week, right? So it says now, change into what you are on the inside. Amen. And remember last week, we took a tour, but let me not run ahead of myself, but we took a tour through the epistles to see who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Okay. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing used here is the word anakinosis. Okay. A-N-A. K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S. It means the complete making new of your mind. Okay? A complete renovation. Changing for the better. Hallelujah. So, when I get saved, I am now in Christ, right? I am now a believer, right? I am now holy. Remember, I was all of this last week. I'm now holy. I'm now sanctified. I'm now righteous. I'm now the child of God. I have the gifts of the Spirit, right? I have the fruits of the Spirit. Now, Paul says, you now have a responsibility. Okay? He says, renew your mind. Do you understand that? So, I can be all those things I just mentioned, but like we saw in Philemon 1:6 last week, that the communication of your faith be made effective, okay, or effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Or that is, yes, in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, and we said that the way you become effective in the things that are yours is through knowledge. Do you understand that? So, I can be everything we saw last week, okay? A son of God, having the fruits of the Spirit, having the gifts of the Spirit, having sonship, hallelujah, amen. What else? Having, I'm a child of God, hallelujah, amen. You know, all of that, I have the same Spirit, amen. I'm one with the Lord. Hallelujah. But having all of that and not renewing my mind will make me ineffective in those things. So what that means is that those things will be there, okay, in me, but I won't be able to make use of them because I don't know them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And remember, we gave an illustration last week of Charles Spurgeon. Okay? There was a woman who was about dying. And she lived all her life in penury, you know, very sick and just very beggarly. And, you know, she was about to die. And Charles Spurgeon came to read, find out, you know, the burial rites and all of that. And he got to her house. He found a frame. Remember the story I told you? He found a frame there. And the frame was actually a wheel. Can you imagine? Because she had been working for a rich man, okay? She was once a maid, and that man didn't have any family, okay? So he didn't have a wife, he didn't have children. So, you know, there was no one to leave his estate to. So he willed everything to her. But because she's an illiterate, or she was an illiterate, she couldn't read the testament, or the, what's it called, and the will left to her. So all her life she lived in penury. When in reality, she had an estate waiting for her. Now, like I explained last week, that's how some believers are. We have everything God has given us. Say, I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. Hallelujah. I have all of that already. But if I don't know, like this woman who lived all her life in penury, okay, I would live all my life thinking I am nothing. When in reality, I have everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, at the end of the day, for the Christian life, for the Christian walk, knowledge is most important. Okay? After salvation, the next thing a believer should busy himself with all the days of his life is to accumulate Bible knowledge. And not just Bible knowledge, accurate Bible knowledge. Are we here? Okay? Accumulate. I told you last week, after salvation, the most important thing in your life is knowledge. Amen? Amen? Because knowledge is how you are effective. Paul uses the word in Philemon 1:6. It says acknowledgement. That's the word epignosis. It refers to full, accurate, and precise knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. So, I would need that to be effective in my Christian walk. So, doesn't this make you realize that if you see a believer, okay, who is not effective in the things of God, can we say that we should check his knowledge? Because what does knowledge do? Remember our analogy last week. Knowledge is the fuel. Your Christian walk is the car. Now, when I'm trying to move the car and the car is not moving, you know, I should check the fuel, right? Because the fuel is what gives that car a movement. So when I see a believer who is not effective in his Christian walk, I should be much more particular about knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is what Paul did in Galatians. And, you know, the book of Corinthians as well. You know, when Paul was dealing with issues as touching believers, he focused more on knowledge. Amen? When believers were misbehaving, in quotes, Paul, you know, if it's today, they might be condemned. Amen? Or they might be insulted. But Paul focuses more on knowledge. He says, there is something you don't know. Hallelujah. So when I see a believer, I repeat it again, who is not effective in his Christian walk, the issue is actually with knowledge. There is something he doesn't know. Hallelujah. So he must now busy himself with Bible knowledge. Now, the more he knows, the more effective he gets. Hallelujah. And like we saw last week, Bible knowledge doesn't jump on you. Amen. It's not, Bible knowledge doesn't happen by osmosis or diffusion. You say, okay, I come to a word church. So because I'm in a word church, I will automatically know the word. No. Amen. We'll see that now. Amen. There is a deliberate attempt on your part. Amen. For you to understand God's word. What did I say? There is a deliberate attempt on your part as a believer to understand God's word. Understanding God's word does not come, it's not a new creation reality. Okay? So you are born again and you just know all the epistles. You can quote Romans. You can quote 1st and 2nd Corinthians of head. No. Amen. You will now be deliberate about that. And let me say this, that one way you are deliberate about that is in your hearing. Amen. What did I say? One way you are deliberate about knowledge in the Christian faith is in your hearing. Okay? A major sign of spiritual growth is being able to hear God's word better. I come again. A major sign of spiritual growth is being able to hear God's word better. Okay? As you grow in the word, okay? Or as you grow in the Christian faith, you are able to hear God's word better and in details. Okay? There is a detail that comes with growing. There is a detailed hearing that comes with growing in God's word. Okay? When you grow, you don't just breeze past through scriptures anymore. No, some people want to read John chapter 3 verse 16. I always give a joke that some of us knew that verse in our mother's womb. Amen? Before we even knew where John 3:16 was, we knew what was there. Right? So, you know, some people just go there and say, okay, for God so loved the world. You know, they breeze through. They don't even bother to look at the details. Just say, for God so loved the world. Amen. Okay? So that's John 3:16. Now, brother, what is in John 3:17? He doesn't know. What is in John 3:18? He doesn't know. But he knows that there's something in that 16th verse that says, God so loved the world. In fact, we ask, how did he so love the world? He doesn't know. When you begin to grow in God's word, okay, there is detail. You develop a detailed attitude to hearing God's word. Please write that down, okay? You now begin to follow through word by word, even though you know it already. Okay, that's growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we would, you know, not look along the same lines we did last week, but we'll focus more, okay, today on an aspect that will help you growing in knowledge, or in the knowledge of God's word. So are you ready? Are you ready? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 11. Hallelujah. Now, Paul in Ephesians 4, 11 to verse 11 to verse 16, basically gives us a summary of what should happen in every local church. Okay? Are you here? And we see that a major work that goes on in every local church, or that should go on, okay, in every local church, is the growing and maturing of the saints. Okay, see verse 11, Ephesians 4. He says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for what? Okay, KJV says perfection, right? NKJV says equipping, okay, of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now it says for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edifying there means to build up. Okay? We can say growth. Are you here? See verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Do you see that? And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children. Do you see that? Infants. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him. Do you see that again? Who is the head? Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Do you see that again? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, backtrack. I know everything I just said. Maybe it's breezed through it. Now, backtrack into verse 11. He says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, the word and there is the word kai in the Greek. Now, when you see kai, it's further explanation of the previously stated. So when I say, when Paul, pardon me, says pastors and teachers, it actually means pastors who are teachers. Do you get that? Or we can say pastoring teachers, because the word pastor means shepherd. Okay, it's a word, it literally means shepherd, a one who oversees sheep, noun, or one who feeds the sheep. Now he uses pastor figuratively. Okay, so he's now a pastor who feeds by teaching. Do you get that? Come on, do you get that? So we can say pastoring teacher, okay, or teaching shepherd. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? Now, what he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave pastoring teachers. Now, what are these ministry gifts supposed to do? Verse 12. He says, the saints would be equipped for the work of the ministry. Do you see that? So, in church, is not a place where there is a superman. Okay? Somebody who just knows the Bible very well. You know, he can quote scripture. So, you come every Sunday to be impressed by him. Amen. No, the end goal is that someday what I'm doing here, you should be able to do it too. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that, oh, there is just a superman. Say, my pastor, huh? My pastor knows Bible. Amen. He can quote scriptures. No, as you learn, you know, come hear pastor teach Sunday in, Sunday out. It's so that eventually you too, well, coming there, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but you know, you too can be equipped for the work of the ministry. Amen. You too will now take up that role someday. So does that mean every person in church will eventually become a pastor? Yes. Amen. If the pastor does his work well, that should be the end goal. Are you following what I'm saying? Guys, are you following what I'm saying? Now, see what it says. It continues. It says, edified, verse 12. Remember I said that word means to build up, right? What else? Verse 13, unity of the faith. Now, what does unity of the faith mean? It means that we all believe the same things. Okay? What is the same thing? The knowledge of the Son of God. Okay? Say, church is where we believe the same things. Say, church is where we all believe the same things. Now, do you know what this means? I'll tell you. It means that if I ask Sister Tofumi, I say, Sister Tofumi, please explain what prayer is. Okay? The way she would explain it should be identical to the way Bro Gabe would explain it. Is that what I'm saying? Because you are all learning from the same place, right? You are all being taught. Now, if the minister is doing his job well, now, you also have a part to play. We'll see that soon. But if that communication is being done properly, okay, we should all believe the same things. Amen. So what, you know, Bro Day believes about the things of the Spirit should be what Satofumi should believe about the things of the Spirit. Okay? If the ministry gives do their things, their job well, okay, the ministry gives the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, if they do their job well, that should be the end goal. So what have we seen so far now? The saints will be equipped for ministry, right? They will be edified, right? Which is to be grown up, right? Now, there will be the unity of the faith. Now, it says that we become perfect men. Verse 13. Now, what does perfect men mean? The word perfect means matured. Okay? So, again, you see, what is that? Spiritual growth. Amen? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, this speaks of ministry. Okay? That is, when you see measure, okay, in Paul's writings, most times it's referring to ministry. Okay? So, after the ministry gifts have done their job well in training the saints, then these saints take up the same responsibility to train others. So, basically, we grow to grow others. Do you get that? So, the reason why you are coming to church every day, you are learning God's word, learning God's word, is so that you can grow so much that you too will be able to do the same to others. Guys, are you here? Are you here? Okay? Now, see verse 14. He says that we should no longer be children. That means we should no longer be underdeveloped in knowledge. Okay? Without firm convictions. A child is someone without firm convictions. And that's why Paul says such a one is tossed to and fro. Do you see that? By every wind of doctrine, a trickery of men, and deceitful plotting. He's not stable in knowledge. Okay? Such a person, today he will hear, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He will rejoice. Tomorrow, he will hear, I went to hell. I saw a pastor there. You people. Be warned. If not, you two, you go to hell. You'll be scared. Tomorrow, you come to church and say, you are sanctified in Christ. Say, glory! You rejoice. Next day, he's on the bus and an evangelist stands up and hammers him with Ezra or Nehemiah, or, you know, that's their text, or Isaiah, or, you know, yeah. Amen. So he hammers your life. He says, I'm not sanctified, though. You know, that is a child in knowledge. Amen. You should grow to the point that regardless of what you hear, I remember I was teaching somewhere, I was teaching this, and I told them, I said, imagine if, you know, someone comes, you know, a sister should come and she's crying. Okay? Have you seen them before? And she's crying. She's saying, Oh, I went to hell. You know this testimony is? I went to hell. And in hell, you know, I almost mentioned a preacher's name. You know? I saw Paul there. You understand? His eternal salvation is not eternal. Okay? I saw Paul in hell. And Paul was crying. He said, go and tell them. I've misdirected the church. And she's crying. And then you come to church on Sunday. And you see one young man. Amen. Standing at the pulpit saying, you are eternally saved. Salvation is forever. He said, you look at me first. You now remember what you heard in the boss. Say, ah, this man said that he's talking. Did he go to Bible school? Let's be careful, you know. We are not really sure what this man is. It might not be true like that, you know. Only God knows those who are really serving him. You know, that's a child, a babe. That's what Paul says. You are tossed to and fro. So when the ministry in church, when you are edified enough, you will hear. In fact, let me say this. Even if Angel Gabriel to appear to you and tell you that salvation is not eternal, you say no, check your Bible again. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a man in the faith. Amen. You are no longer tossed to and fro. That will happen in the local church. When the ministry gives do their job well, you will no longer be tossed to and fro. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here? Now see verse 15 again. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You see that again? Growth. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You see that now? So we are now a body, then every part will do its share. Because we are now all ministries. Do you see the end? So all everybody, so it will not have in the church. After the ministry gifts have done their job, we'll now have apostles, okay? We'll have prophets, we'll have evangelists, we'll have pastoring teachers. Then each of them will now do their part in ensuring that the body as a whole grows. Do you see that? So it's like a cycle of growth, okay? You grow, then after you grow, you're able to grow others. Then those others as well now take the same knowledge and able to grow others. It's a cycle of growth. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Do you see that? It says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the end result of Bible teaching, the end result of spiritual training is ministry. I remember I was talking to someone, okay? And she said, I was talking to her about spiritual growth. And she said, you know, spiritual growth, only God knows. Interesting, I just gave the illustration. I said, only God knows those who are really growing spiritually. He said, you cannot know if you are growing spiritually. I said, Paul already told you. Right? Right? What would you used to tell? I will now become much more involved in ministry. That is the end goal. Okay? All the prayers we are doing, all this fasting, all the assignments we give in church, all the Bible teaching is to this end. Guys, are you here? Guys, are you here? That you are edified so that you can edify others. You now continue in ministry. Okay? So you can gauge your spiritual growth. Amen. You can gauge it. Is that something that is mystical in the third heavens? You can actually know, am I growing spiritually or not? You can tell. Hallelujah. The saints will be built up for ministry. That is the end goal of spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, today, I want us to focus on something very important that would help in this area, okay, of spiritual growth. Turn quickly to Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, are you there? Okay, it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Amen. Now, it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The word learned here in the Hebrew is the word limud. I'll spell it for you. L-I-M-M-U-D. L-I-M-M-U-D. Limud. It means thought. Okay? Thought. So we can say, the Lord God has given me the tongue, of the thought. Okay? He say, that word, limud, it was used for disciples. Okay? Those who were instructed and taught were skillful with knowledge. Those who were instructed and taught were skillful with knowledge. Now, that word limud was derived from another Hebrew word, lamad. L-A-M-A-D. L-A-M-A-D. Lamad refers to expertise. Okay? Expertise. Being highly skillful because you have been taught well. Do you see that? Being highly skillful because you have been taught well. So Isaiah 50 verse 4 speaks of one who can speak skillfully. He has the tongue of the learned, okay? We can say he is a good teacher. Now we see it in the same verse. It says that I should know how to speak. Do you see that? So that's what the tongue of the learned does. It says a word in season to him who is weary. So such a one is an expert. Do you understand that? When it says tongue of the learned, we are talking of someone who is an expert. Amen? Now he says that I may know. The word know there in the Hebrew is the word yada. Y-A-D-A. Yada. Y-A-D-A. It speaks of wisdom. Okay? One who is well acquainted with something, we can say having know-how. When we say someone has know-how of something, okay? So it speaks of wisdom, the word yada. One who is well acquainted with something or having know-how. Now, this is used to describe what is meant by learned tongue. Now, people come to this verse, verse 4, and they stop here and they focus on the learned tongue, which is knowledge, okay? But notice that Isaiah did not stop at knowledge. Please look at your Bible. He continued on how to speak. So, aside even having information, there is a skill you can have on how to pass across the same things you know to others. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, why is there a how? Why is there a how? Because he to whom the words are spoken is weary. Okay? So there needs to be a how to get the desired results with one that is weary. Guys, do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So there is a how because there is one who is weary. So the one who has the learned tongue is able to speak in such a manner, okay, is able to communicate what he knows very well to the other party. Okay? So the tongue of the learned is to know how to speak. Amen? Now, some have stopped here and prayed to God, saying, God, give me the tongue of the learned. God, I want the tongue of the learned. But you know, that's a poor reading of the text. Because the same verse doesn't tell you to pray for the tongue of the learned. It tells you how the tongue of the learned is gotten. Look at your Bible. It says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Do you see that? Do you see that? So what is the secret to speaking as the learned? Hearing as what? The learned. That is hearing well. Hearing skillfully. Hallelujah. So if you speak well, or pardon me, if you hear well, you will speak well. Hallelujah. Guys, you hear what I said? Can we say that together? If you hear well, you will what? Speak well. So you are not to ask God for the tongue of the learned, okay? Guys, are you here? We are not to ask God for the tongue of the learned. Rather, we are to ask that he open our ears to hear. Are you following this? Are you following this? So the opening of the ear would affect your speech. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See verse 5 again. It says, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Do you see that? Do you see that? So do you see the progression in emphasis? Looking at it again, it starts with the tongue and speaking in verse 4, right? Right? But his emphasis are on hearing. He's on hearing, pardon me, from verse 4 downwards to verse 5. Now that is the secret to being learned or skillful in teaching. Amen? Some would say, like I said earlier on, I want to be very good in teaching the Bible. Okay? God, please make me very good in teaching the Bible. Then some now give up and say, okay, I'm not a Bible teacher. Amen. So they see that they are not very skilled in that area and they say, I'm not a Bible teacher. But then, who is a Bible teacher? We are all good hearers. Hallelujah. We are all good listeners. So hearing is very key. Hallelujah. Hearing is the important thing. You know, it says the tongue of the learned, but the tongue of the learned is because of hearing like the learned. Hearing skillfully. Hallelujah. Are you here? Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 from verse 19. James 1:19. It says, "So then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, when you understand what we saw just now in Isaiah 54:5, you know that this is not a three-level instruction, right? The emphasis is what? Be swift to hear. Are you looking at your Bible? When you are swift to hear, it will control how you speak, and eventually it will control your emotions, wrath. Do you see that? Now, the word swift used here in verse 19 is the word tachus. T-A-C-H-U-S. That's the Greek word. T-A-C-H-U-S. Tachus. It means prompt. Okay? Prompt. Without unnecessary delay. Or ready. It actually denotes an eagerness to want to hear. Okay? It denotes an eagerness to want to hear. So, it speaks of a manner or an attitude when it comes to hearing God's word. Are you here? Are you here? There is a way you should hear. There is such a thing as skillfulness in how you hear God's word. Hallelujah. Now, I'll give you an illustration. Now, I remember growing up in... there was this event we used to have. We used to have these Easter picnics. And, you know, in these picnics, what we'll do basically is just to come together and have fun. Amen? And, you know, there was something they usually did. They would call out cards. Have you seen that before? They would call out card numbers. So, they would say MTN. Then they would start. 2, 5, fastest finger, right? 2, 5, 8, 9. Now, that's not real. Where's my phone? Let me check. You know, is it 2, 5, 8, 20, 30? And I always observed something. When it was time to call out cards, it's almost like the saints metamorpho. Amen. So serious. So particular. You know, some will even say, "Leave me." They will leave their seats. They will come closer to this. Can you imagine? They will come closer to the speaker. Okay. Immediately it's done. Okay. And you know, when they don't get it, they'll be angry. Amen. You know. But I used to just wonder, because I'm very observant. I used to see how detailed your attention is to calling of card. But miraculously, again, every church service, those same saints, They are in the fourth heaven of sleep. Amen. Not third now. They've arrived at the fourth heaven. Sleeping. Okay? We are coming to that. Don't worry. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Okay? But they will be sleeping. But when it comes to recharging cards, okay? Recharge cards, they are alert. You know, that shows that there is something wrong with that believer's attitude. Amen. Amen. When it comes to God's word, you listen in such a way that you are able to hear everything that is said in details. Hallelujah. Okay? You are turning your Bible. You are reading it. Amen? You are writing. You are checking the words. Hallelujah. You are not like a dicycle with information. Okay? When you give an I don't care attitude to God's word, you can never grow that way. Amen? Amen? You can never grow that way. So just the same way, you know, for such a person, you know, when it comes to fastest finger cards and all of that, you know, you don't need to ask that, are you serious? His disposition shows that he's serious. Amen. You see, he has leaned forward. He's looking, he's listening properly. He's holding his device. He's careful. He's listening properly. You know, his facial expression shows that he's taking what is being said seriously. How much more the word of God? Amen. So, there is hearing God's word is important. It is so important. See Romans chapter 10. We're going somewhere. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Say hearing God's word. Say hearing God's word is important for my life. Amen. Romans 10, verse 11. It says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 11, verse 12 now. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not what? They have not heard. Do you see that? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So the gospel is good news about what Christ has done. Okay? But it needs to be preached. Okay? Or proclaimed. Now, when it is preached or proclaimed, the person who hears those words would need to hear what is being said. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes, and hearing by the word of God. The Greek actually says the message of Christ. Okay? That is, when the gospel is preached, the one being preached to will need to hear or pay attention to what is being said. Amen. It is in that hearing that faith comes. Amen. Hearing would mean a thorough understanding of the intent and message being presented. Amen. That is why when we go on outreaches and evangelisms, we don't, you know, when we're trying to get someone saved and we present the gospel to him and he says, I believe. You know, we always try to cross-check. Because for some people, when you preach to them, all they are hearing is, okay, gospel. Amen. Jesus, my church. Amen. So we ask, you say you've believed, right? What did you believe? You have to tell me what exactly you just heard and what exactly you've put faith on. Amen. What now? We now wait. If he says, I believe that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he was raised for my sins. Ha, you heard well. Amen. So you don't assume people hear what you are saying in evangelism, okay? That will help somebody. Ask them what exactly the message must be clear. Amen. Amen. The communication must be clear. Hallelujah. And let me say this as well, that if your hearing is not correct, there will be no faith and there will be no salvation. Amen. So, can you see that there is a difference between just merely hearing words and understanding the intent and the message of what is being said? Right? Right? So, for the sinner to be saved, God depends on his hearing. Isn't that interesting? For the sinner to be saved, God depends on his hearing. Hallelujah. So, yes, the gospel is a message that saves, right? But if the message that saves is poorly heard, it would not profit the hearer. Guys, are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? So that means if I preach the gospel to someone and the person hears me wrongly, there is no faith, though. Amen? Or there is faith in the wrong thing. And that person is not saved. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 4. Just follow this, please. I beg you. Mark 4. Mark 4, chapter 3. Are you there? Mark 4, 3. Very famous parable of Jesus. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Verse 5. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately he sprang up because he had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. And some seed fell among thorns. and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." Verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Verse 12. "So that seeing they may not see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows what? The sower sows what? The word." Verse 15. "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear," pay attention, "Satan comes what? Immediately, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Do you see that? Guys, you see that? Now, observe, he gives a parable, right? Of a sower who sows seed on four different grounds. Okay? Now, verse 15 explains what the seed is. Or, pardon me, verse 14. He says, "The sower sows what? The word." And he says, "These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown." So he's explaining the wayside now, right? Right? Now, what happens to these folks? When they hear the word, Satan comes and takes it away immediately. Now, I've seen in some quarters that some use this and say, "God, please allow Satan not to take the word, you know, from my heart." After the word is taught, they say, "God, please let Satan not take the word from my heart." But that is not the point. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is not the point. Jesus here is explaining different attitudes when the word is taught. Amen? Amen? Now, how does Satan take away the word? Matthew explains. Turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. We are coming back here. So, you know, put your hand in Mark 4. We're coming back there. Matthew 13 from verse 19. Guys, are you here? Are you here? Okay. It says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it." So Paul in Matthew, interesting. Matthew, pardon me, you know, adds, "does not understand," right? Right? He says, "Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." Now, I want you to pay attention to that word, "does not understand." Okay, underline it in your Bible. That word, "does not understand," or the phrase, pardon me, "does not understand," underline it. Okay? Now, some have said, "But pastor, when you teach, I don't understand." Sometimes when you teach, I don't understand. Every time you teach, I don't understand. That's not what Matthew is referring to here. Okay? That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Okay? That phrase, "does not understand," in the Greek is in the active voice. Okay? In the Greek, we have active voice, we have passive voice, and we have middle voice. Active voice means you are the one doing it. Amen? Active voice is used for what you do. So we can read it this way: he deliberately chooses not to understand. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So this is not someone who goes to church and does not understand what pastor says. This is someone who is lackadaisical and has an "I don't care" attitude to the word being taught. Amen. He says he does not understand. He chooses not to understand. So it's not that once you hear God's word, Satan can just come and grab it from your heart. No. Satan comes in response to an attitude. Are you following what I'm saying? A lackadaisical, "I don't care" attitude. Okay? So when such a person, I explain them to you, when the word is being taught, they are looking around, checking their phone, amen, looking at the preacher's face. Then, oh, turn to Philemon 1:6, and you say, turn to Philemon 1:6, and they are looking at your eyes as though Philemon 1:6 is in the eyes. Ah, oh, pastor, but you know, your face is very impressive. I know, amen. But when I'm teaching you God's word, look at your Bible. Amen. Look at it. Open the verse, the text. Look, open your notes. Be writing. Amen. Be taking notes. Then after the service, maybe you can keep admiring the face. Amen. But in the service, there is an I don't care attitude you should never have. Amen. Because, like I said, Satan comes in response to an attitude. Please write that down. Satan comes in response to an attitude. So what should I be doing? Opening my Bible, taking notes, paying attention. When I don't do that, when I'm looking around, okay, such a person is a candidate for the devil. Amen? Such a person is what? A candidate for the devil. Not now, observe that it doesn't matter who is teaching. It doesn't matter who is teaching. If this is your attitude, the word being taught will never benefit you. Here, it was Jesus teaching. I mean, Jesus is teaching. You hear what I said? Let me repeat it again. Jesus, God made man, right? God in man, right? The I am that I am in flesh was teaching. And amongst the congregation, there are those who still have this attitude. So what should we do about your case? We should wash your head in the river. Amen. Don't have that kind of attitude. Amen. Such a person can never understand God's word. It's not a lie. It's not a curse or something. You can never understand God's word. Your attitude. Say my attitude matters. Say my attitude matters. Say it out. Say my attitude to God's word being taught matters. Amen. So if your attitude is bad, your hearing will be bad. And it would affect your knowledge and your understanding. Back to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Now, look at verse 16. Mark 4, 16. Now, see another category, okay? Of those who hear. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. Do you see that? Do you see that? And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 16 again. It says, when they hear the word, the B part, immediately they receive it with gladness. Now, what does this mean? These are the guys in church who, when the word is being taught, they are shouting, glory! Amen? They are running all around the place. Screaming, oh, yes, sir. This word is tricky, me, sir. You know, different things. You know, hammer me, sir. Amen? Or, took me. They are shouting, glory! Glory! Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, hallelujah! They receive it with gladness. But what is their issue? There is no root. Amen? There is no depth. Hallelujah. Are you here? Are you here? So these guys, after service, that's the end of the glory. Amen. The glory dissipates. They don't go back to their notes. Amen. They don't get the messages. They don't meditate. Now, you know what this means? It means you have someone who is excited at the word without any firm convictions. Okay? So he shouts, glory, 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 glory. But there's no firm conviction. So such a person, once persecution arises for the sake of that word he's shouting glory about, he will run away. Amen. So he's excited. That's all it is. Excitement. You know, if he's in this church now, you know, Zazu Church, they would even use, such persons would even use our terminologies. Amen. Say, oh, we're not best this yet. Oh, we're not best this yet. There is no best in the day. Amen. And yet, the day is not yet. Amen. You say, oh, so much to learn. So much to learn. So much to learn. You know, so much to learn is what you use after you study the word for a long period of hours, and you see that there's still so much to learn. Okay? The Bible for, you know, at least 5 hours. Okay? Or 9 hours. And you see that, oh, there's still so much to learn. But such persons, they will use it. Okay? If you are not careful, you will even think this person is very fire-banded. Right? 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 If you are not careful, you will think this person is very convinced. Come on, guys. You understand what I'm saying? You know, in some quarters, if they are not careful, they even give such persons leadership roles. Because in their mind, they think all that knowledge of the world is excitement. Just be shouting in church and you are convinced. No. 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 Amen. You must be convinced. Say, I must be convinced. Say, I must be convinced. Amen. Remember what we started from. Don't be tossed to and fro. Amen. Develop roots. That's the problem of these people. Develop depth in the message of Christ. Develop, get the messages. Amen. Listen to them over and over and over again. You know, compare them with your notes. Oh, what did I miss here? You know, meditate. Hallelujah. Amen. Once you're such a person and, you know, there's no roots, there's no depth, there's no conviction. Once Jesus Christ says here, immediately the persecution comes for the word's sake. They become offended. Amen. And they stumble. Say, I'm not like this. Say, I'm not like this. Amen. So we see another category, right? Right? A different attitude to God's word. Now see another one, verse 18. Verse 18. It says, now these are the ones sown among thorns, okay? They are the ones who hear the word, verse 19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word. Do you see that? And it becomes unfruitful. Amen? Now, this category is very interesting. For these ones, it's like the word is talking to them, but the cares of this world is also talking to them. So what they do is, they quieten the voice of the word and let the voice of the cares of this world be louder in their ears. That's what I just said. The word is talking to them. The cares of this world is also talking to them. So it's like two people are talking in your ear, okay? In your ears. So what they do is, they quieten the word, okay? And they make the cares of this world to be louder in their ears. They are concerned about natural things. These are the guys who will miss church for work. Amen. You know, church, how many hours? You say, oh no, I cannot make it to church. I have work. Okay? Or, you know, they miss church for business trips, for vacations. And they do it without any, you know, sense of, they don't even bother. It doesn't, you know, they can miss church conveniently. Not good enough. What did I say? What did I say? Not good enough. They place value on worldly things more than God. Now, eventually, these worldly things will do something. They will choke the word and they will become what? Unfruitful. Hallelujah. Do you see that? See verse 20. Are you following? Are you following? Are you following? Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, verse 20. It says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Aha. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, this category are those who have a good attitude to the word being preached. Okay? They listen well. And because of these, they grow in the word. But you observe that even amongst those who listen well, there is still 30-fold. Do you see that? There is still 60-fold and there is still 100-fold. So it's like saying good, better, best. Do you see that? Come on, guys, do you see that? So these four souls, stony ground, right? Wayside, thorns, and good ground all represent the state of a man's heart when the word is taught. Did you get that? It represents, or they represent, pardon me, the state of a man's heart when the word is taught. A bad attitude when the word is taught will prevent you from enjoying the full benefits of the same. A bad attitude when the word is taught will prevent you from enjoying the full benefits of the same. Hallelujah. Now let's analyze something here quickly. How does hearing work? When I say hearing, how does it work? Let's use this speaker as an example. What happens when I talk? There are sound waves. Are there any science? And most of you are science students, right? Okay. There are sound waves that come out of the speaker, right? Now they travel in the sound of... Hey, you're looking at me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did you pass physics? Okay. You know, so they travel in the sound, in the speed of sound, right? Right? They travel in the speed of sound, right? And they get to... Now, you have a ear, right? Do you have a ear? I believe you should. Right? Right? Now, in your ear, you have a ear canal, right? So, when they get there, they hit that ear canal. And because you have a functioning ear, you are able to pick up those ear sound waves. Right? Right? Okay. Now, that... What just happened? Can we call that hearing? Think carefully. Can we call that hearing? Just hearing sound waves. You know, you are just hearing words. I, A, B, T, F, G, A, B, T, A. And just as long as you have a functioning hair, it's just entering. Vroom. Enter. Vroom. Through the sound of waves. Right? Vroom. Enters the head. Is that hearing? Is that hearing? Is that hearing? Is that hearing? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, I'll give you an illustration. Now, is anyone here is Awusa speaking? Is anyone here who speaks Awusa? Okay. Now, here's something. Here's something. Senu Dezua. Do you understand what I just said? I know some are not Awusa speaking, but they understand bits of Awusa. Did you understand what I just said? Senu Dezua. Did you understand? Okay. Now, did he pass through the sound? Did he come like speed? Way into your hair. You heard Senu Dezua because you have a functioning hair, right? But did you understand what was being said? No! Do you get that now? So there is a difference. Some people think that all there is to growing, just be hearing the word. No! You have to understand the very message and intent of what is being communicated to you. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just hearing words. Hearing words, you know, here, you just hear the Greek word is, the Greek word is, the Greek word is, the Hebrew word is, the Aramaic word is, but all you are hearing is just sound, sound, but the understanding is not there. You are not growing, no. Amen. There is no understanding yet. So that means you can hear, but you cannot, but hearing does not necessarily mean understanding. Okay? Okay. Amen. So, the word communicate is communicated to you. Now, you now have a responsibility to deliberately understand what is being communicated. Now, why didn't you understand Senu Dezua? Because you have a mind. That mind has been trained over time in different languages, okay? English is one of them. That's why you can understand what I'm saying now, right? Let me say, for most of you here, Yoruba is also one of them. If I say, Ekaro, aha, you understand that one. Because your mind has been trained to pick up that on that not, that language, right? There is knowledge in your... You know what I'm saying? I need to speak in tongues and interpret. Are you understand what I'm saying? There is knowledge in your heart. You know what air means. You know car. You know mro. You know what it means. Amen. But senude is what you don't know. Amen. So there is a hearing, but the understanding is not there. That is why senude zuwa is strange to you. Amen. So hearing is effective. Please write this down. By understanding the language in which the message was passed across. Okay? And that understanding is in the mind. It's not in the ears. Because the mind is where you have been, is where you've been trained over time to understand things. Do you see what I just said? So that means hearing really is not done with the ears. It's done with the mind. Is that clear? Is that clear? So there is a ear that causes you to hear what is being spoken. But if there is no mind to interpret what is being spoken, it will be of no use to you. Hallelujah. So Mark 4, he gives us four scenarios where everybody had capacity to hear. Okay? On the hearing, but the hearing differed based on the state of their hearts. You understand now? Guys, you understand now? So in Mark 4, when Jesus Christ talked to the multitude, would all of them hear what he was saying? Come on, would they hear what he was saying? But did all of them understand? No. No. Because where was the issue? The mind. So those four souls represent what? The heart of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must ensure that your mind gets exactly what is being communicated to you. That's what I'm saying. You must understand that, you must ensure, pardon me, that your mind gets exactly what is being communicated to you. You know, sometimes we tend to interpret God's word based on our experiences. For example, if I say you are eternally saved, some people hear that and they interpret it. Remember, where is the understanding? In the mind. Now, in their mind, they've already they fed on knowledge that told them that, you know, somebody, like the illustration I gave earlier, someone went to hell and she saw Paul there. Amen. Then she comes back and she gives a testimony. She sells books. Amen. And she sells cassettes. Amen. Cassettes. Now, she does all of that and you feed your mind with that. Okay, you feed your mind, you eat it. Now that is the understanding you have in your mind, right? So what is now in your mind? Salvation is not eternal, right? Because when a person went to hell and the person saw Paul in hell, so that means salvation is not eternal. Now I now come here and I tell you guys, Jesus Christ saves forever. You know, if you're not careful, you will hear save and forever based on that preconceived notion you already have in your mind. So you will be hearing I am saved forever, but through a lens, through a filter. Some people do that. It's wrong. As long as you've seen it from the Bible, that this is clearly stated, okay, believe it. Amen. Amen. You know, for some, you tell them you are holy. They say, but I sin every day. Where is the issue? In the mind. Are you following? Are you following what I'm saying? That is bad hearing. Okay? What did I call it? Bad hearing. So don't allow your level of exposure diminish, okay, the things that are being communicated to you. You hear what I just said? You hear what I just said? You hear what I just said? Don't allow your level of exposure, I repeat it again, diminish or confine the things that are being communicated to you. Now, I'll give you another illustration. Imagine someone saying, oh, I want to be rich. Okay? I want to be rich. In this life, I want to blow. I want to blow in this life. And in his mind, being rich is 1 million naira. And a 2-bedroom apartment. Do you get that? So in his mind, when he says I want to be rich, rich in his mind is 1 million naira, right? And a 2-bedroom apartment. Now, such a person, you're laughing. Now, such a person now sees another person who began. Now, you know, he's saying that because in his mind, that is wealth. Right? In his mind, 1 million naira. Ha! Hey! I will paint the town red. Do you understand? In his mind, that is wealth. Now, do you know that there are some people who started life with, you know, they just started life with $2 billion. You know, just $2 billion. They were just born into $2 billion. You know, and a mansion. Now, imagine such a person trying to communicate with the other person. You know, there'll be a barrier. Because in his mind, he has confined what wealth should mean. You understand? He has restricted wealth to 1 million naira. That is a problem in his mind. You see what I'm saying? Now, imagine those two people want to communicate. You know, they're rich kids, there's a way they talk. You know, when you're talking with them, you just know, this one has money. And some things, just, you know, I was in Dubai last week, you know. I just went to get ice cream, you know. And from there, you know, I'm just thinking of getting stocks, you know, with Tesla. I'm not sure. But what do you think? You think I should get stocks with Tesla or Apple, you know? If you cannot relate to what I'm saying, you know, there's a problem. You know, because that's the way their mind is conditioned. They know wealth. Amen. But you, where you not, well, not you, I don't know, you know, but you know, when you not communicate with such a person, you might be thinking, this is strange. Tesla, which is Tesla again? The Apple stocks, which is Apple stocks again? I mean, what I know is the 500 that used to enter my pocket every week. Okay? There is a problem with your understanding. Now, again, imagine if that person that has $1 billion, or is it $2 billion you said? $2 billion, have you? Is now a message. And you want to communicate that message to the guy with 1 million. How will you do it? When I say rich, you will be hearing 1 million. When the message is saying 1 billion. Do you understand? Do you understand? So you must not let, when it comes to Bible knowledge, you must never let preconceived notions or pre-understandings confine your understanding of God's word. Now come again with that. When it comes to Bible knowledge, you must never let preconceived notions or pre-understandings confine your understanding of God's word. And you know, this is the issue, you know, today, why we have so many denominations. Okay? If we have just one, I used to say it, if we have just one Bible, why should we have over 2,000 denominations, Christian denominations? Right? How many Bibles do we have? In your Bible, are you reading, are you seeing Muhammad there? Are you seeing Mustafa? What are you seeing there? Genesis to Revelation. Another person has Genesis to Revelation. Another person has Genesis to Revelation. Now, they all now come together to read the same book. And from the same book, they are seeing different things. How? Now I say, the Bible is like an elephant. From the back, you can see the back. From the front, you can see the trunk. From the side, you can see, what is that? The ribs. No! The elephant and the three blind men. So, the blind men, one blind man touched the back. He felt the back. Another man touched the front. He felt the tusks. Another man touched... Are you a blind man? Is the Bible an elephant? No, I don't understand. If it's the same... Remember what we saw in Ephesians 4, just now. The unity of the faith means that if we are doing our job well, everybody should believe the same thing. It's possible. But the issue now is that somebody will read the Bible. And when he reads the Bible, remember, 1 million toward 1 billion. He is now interpreting it based on preconceived notions, pre-understandings. And because of that, now imagine, it takes his own preconceived notion, his own pre-understanding, and makes it a denomination. He now has millions that follows his own interpretation, preconceived notion of the same scripture. Another one comes again, reads it. No. This is what this verse is saying. And that one comes again, reads it. This is what this verse is saying. I'm going to read it. The issue can't be with the Bible. It can't be. There is definitely an issue with how we are hearing it and how we are studying it. Amen. E.W. Kenyon, okay, great man. He said that the numerous denominations we have today are numerous understandings of the new birth. Okay? The numerous denominations we have today are numerous understandings of the new birth. So someone believes that to be saved, the new birth, I need to believe in Christ. Okay? That's a denomination. Another one believes to be saved, I need to be baptized. He forms it to a denomination. Another one believes the new birth comes by fasting. He forms it into a denomination. Another one says the new birth comes by giving. He forms it into a denomination. We now have over 2,000 from the same book. How? So if we all hear well, we will all say the same things. Say that. If we all hear well, we will all say the same things. Hallelujah. So what does it take away from this teaching? Listen and listen good. Don't be lackadaisical with Bible knowledge. Don't. Okay? Be eager. Be prompt. Okay? Your attitude should show that you take the Bible very seriously. Come to church early. Okay? Pray for knowledge before service. Amen? Come with your Bible and your notepad. Read the references. Write down the explanation. After church, get the sermons. Cross-check. See what you've missed. Okay? And correct them. Be a good listener. Okay? Never tell yourself you are done listening. Please write that down. I shouldn't tell you to write that down if you are hearing well. Never tell yourself you are done listening. Because when you tell yourself you are done listening, you know what you do? You limit your mind to understand more. Amen. When you say, I know everything already the Bible has said, you are limiting your mind to understand. You know, for some of us, when we say, I'm a new creation, you know, some people have not started saying what the Bible said. I'm a new creation. You know, for some, in their minds, when they hear new creation, what they interpreted new creation to mean in their minds is not what the Bible is saying. You know, for some, they think new creation means you don't sin anymore. Somebody said, the things I used to, I said, how are you a new creation? I said, the things I used to do, I do them no more. You have not said what the Bible is saying. That's not what new creation means. But you are interpreting it based on preconceived notions. Amen. Amen. Remember where we started? Constantly renew your mind. Okay? Don't be comfortable with limited Bible knowledge. Remember the 1 million naira guy. Now increase your mind to accommodate 2 billion. Increase it. Guys, are you here? Are you here? Stop confining the Bible. And how would you do this? You listen well. How do you listen well? You keep listening. You don't put a barrier in your mind. You don't say, oh, I know this already. Okay? Okay. So like I said, when the Bible was written, it was written skillfully. Okay, those scriptures were written skillfully, very skillfully. And the writers of the scriptures were very detailed in what they wrote. And they ensured they followed a systematic mode of thinking, okay? And that mode of thinking was singular. Okay, so if you are really reading what they said well, you should not be seeing something different in Genesis that you are not seeing in 1 Timothy. Okay? Okay? Because they all followed the same pattern. Hallelujah. The Bible is clear. Say the Bible is clear. So the Bible is clear. Now what will we all do? We must individually hear it well. Okay? We must individually hear it well. Hallelujah. You know, for some of us, you've been hearing the same way for years. And rather than listening well, okay, you now limited that information. Okay, you didn't listen well in order to expand your mind. You need to change that. What did I say? You need to what? Change that. Hallelujah. Lastly, look at Mark 4. As we begin to close. Mark chapter 4. Verse 24. Now Jesus concludes the parable of the sower by saying this. He says, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Now, some have used this for giving money. That's wrong. Amen. Obviously, Jesus here is talking. Please look at your Bible. I shouldn't say that. Obviously, Jesus here is referring to hearing. Okay? Right? So he says, to you who hear, more will be given. Now, what does it mean? The Amplified Version, okay? It gives us a very clear explanation of this. Let me turn it very quickly. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 24. Reading in the Amplified Version. It says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Okay? The measure of thought and study. Do you see that? Guys, do you see that? You give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you here. Now, I'll come again. Please write that down. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and what? Knowledge that comes back to you. I read that again. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Do you see that? Now, the teacher here is Jesus. Okay? So, the teacher can even be Jesus. Okay? It can be Jesus. But if you don't give thought and study to what you are hearing, it would never profit you. So, he says the measure of thought and study. Now, put equals to knowledge and virtue equals to thought and study. Did you see that? So the measure of, we can say the measure of virtue and knowledge is equals to the measure of what? Thought and study. Amen. So if I want to grow in knowledge and virtue, where should I focus on? Thought and what? Study of what is being thought. Hallelujah. And we said that knowledge is the flow, okay, of the Christian walk. Philemon 1:6 tells us that the communication of your faith will be made effective through the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So as a child of God, you can be righteous in Christ, okay? But if you don't know this, it will not profit you. You can have everything. I mean, look at everything we looked at last week. So much. Paul says, every good thing, right? So many things that are in you in Christ. But you can have all of that, but if you don't know them, they won't profit you. So we'll see a believer whom Jesus talked about in Mark 16, saying, these signs shall follow them who believe. They will cast out demons, and they will be scared of demons. He says, in my name. That means what he gave you is authority. The word name means authority. Okay? So he says, in my authority, they will cast out demons. but you are scared of demons. Why? Because you've not made it clear in your mind that I have authority over demons. So at the end of the day, what does it affect? Your experiences. So poor knowledge equals to what? Poor experiences in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to take knowledge seriously. It's so serious that Romans 10 tells us, okay, that if the gospel is preached to a man and the man is about to die in the next 10 minutes, if the man doesn't hear that message well, that man is not saved. Is that serious? There is nothing God can do about that man's case. Think about that. Is that serious? That if a man is to die on the spot now, and I go to him, I present to him the message how that Christ died, he was buried, and he was raised for his sins, what is he supposed to do? Exercise faith, right? In that message. But he just shuns what I'm saying. You know, the sound waves are coming. He's just hearing death. Okay, resurrection. Okay. Seen by 50. Okay. Okay, Jesus, okay. God, oh, all right, God. You know, he has a lackadaisical attitude, an I don't care attitude. If that man dies at that spot, there is nothing God can do about this case again. Shouldn't that tell you how serious this is? That God depends on the hearing of the sinner to get him saved. God depends on his hearing. So the message can be very hot. Amen. You know, very sound teaching. But if you are disinclined, you don't care, it won't profit you. Amen. Amen. Say, I choose to hear well. Say, I choose to hear well. Say, I choose to hear well. So I'll give you something now, and then we'll close. Okay? It's like a chart. Okay? That's right. The word is taught. Okay? The word is taught. Then put an arrow. Right here, well. The word is taught. Here, well. Then put another arrow. Give thought and study to what is being taught. Give thought and study to what is being taught. Next, put an arrow again. What will happen? You will have accurate knowledge. Okay? You will have accurate knowledge. Then lastly, another arrow. Then you will be effective in your Christian walk. You will be effective in your Christian walk. So the word is taught. What do I do? Following your chart. What do? I hear well. What happens when I hear well? Give thought and study to what is being taught. After that, what happens? Accurate knowledge. Okay? And after that, you will be effective in your Christian walk. Hallelujah. So choose to hear well. Choose to hear well. And put priority. Okay, I was going to say this. Put priority on places. Okay, I said this last week. I'll say it again. Put priority on places where you are being taught God's word well. Okay? Don't miss church. Don't miss church. Remember, an attitude is the problem. Don't miss church. You know, for some, they say, I cannot make it to church. The journey is too far. But they attend schools, okay, universities that are miles away from home. The issue is just what? Priority. For some, you know, they will say, I don't have money for transport. But, you know, when, for those people, I say this. You know, imagine you don't have money for transport to come to church, but imagine if in school, okay, a lecturer should message the entire class and tell them that you have to be in school on Monday. Whoever is not in school on Monday will not graduate. Think about that, though. Whoever is not in school on Monday will not graduate. And you don't have cash on you. What do you do? The cash will appear. Amen. You will just see it. It will just come from somewhere. You will borrow. Right? You will find a way. How can I borrow to come to church? It's a priority problem. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a priority problem. I was talking to someone, you know, and the person was telling me how recently they had, and I see very much reason with what the person was saying. He said, you know, the way we organize meetings, and in the meetings, there is, you know, we ensure everything is given for free. Right? You know, there is free accommodation for the days of the meeting, Christian meetings now. There is free feeding. You know, oh, in fact, we pay for it. The after the meeting, we don't collect a dime. Okay? Offerings. And with all of that, someone will still message and say, pay for my transport. Are you charismata? Everything should be free. Value your spiritual group. Value it. Come on. I mean, look at all of that. As I said, right now, you know, if somebody says, okay, sorry, you cannot make it for your meeting because of this, okay, don't bother coming. You understand? Don't bother coming. I'm sorry, I could not make it. Don't tell me sorry. I was in the meeting. You were not. I was blessed. Right? So who should be saying sorry to who? Don't tell me sorry. Be there. Amen? Be there. Ensure all your resources. Just use it. You know, you say, how can I make it to church? Find a way. Find a way. Is that anywhere in places where you know you are being taught God's word well? Find a way. Just come. Amen. Amen. Don't be a freebie Christian. It's a free. Oh, Jesus has paid it all. It's all free. No. Come for the meeting. Hallelujah. Come for the meeting. When you come, open your Bible. Now, let me say this. I said it last time. I've been saying it, but I won't repeat it again. Let me not be saying things like, turn there. Okay? I expect that you should come with your Bibles every Sunday. Hard copy. Amen? And when a text is being quoted, you turn there, you look at it. Let your facial expression show that you are learning. You think I can't tell? I can tell. Let it show that you are learning. When a word is given, write it down. I told you, look at it so that I don't mislead you. Amen? But if there's something there and I twist it, but you are not reading it, so you didn't know. Read it. Look at it. I should not say on there. I should not say write that down. You should know. That is somebody who is hearing well. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. In a place like this, I was telling someone, that was 2 days ago, 3 days ago. In a place like this, a church like this, I'm telling you, okay? If you can attend this church for just 1 year, some of you understand what I'm saying. For just 1 year. Just one. That's what I'm asking. Just 1 year. Just come. Be diligent. When you come, open your Bible. Read. Take notes. Go to the teaching. Meditate. After that, get the messages. Feed on the materials. Obey instructions. When we, you know, here, we give a daily prayer and a Bible reading plan. You know, read the prayers. Just pray. Okay, the Bible reading, just read them. Just do that for 1 year. You will grow. See, it will be like magic, like you're eating manure. You will just be getting better. I'm not joking. Some of you understand what I'm saying. Just 1 year. Just year well. That's all we need from you. Let your attitude show that you want to grow. Be a serious Christian. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this clear? Is this clear? I'm not hearing you. Is this clear? Amen. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Just put your head down and pray for yourself. That you are able to hear well and listen well. That you are not lackadaisical. And also make a commitment for yourself. Okay? Make a commitment that I will be serious with God's word. And I will grow thereby. I will be better in the faith. I will be better. I will be so much better. I will be effective in the faith. Pray for yourself. Come on, pray for yourself. I won't have an I don't care attitude to the world. I will hear well so I can grow well. So I can get better. Pray for yourself. I'm not whiling away time. Pray for yourself.